And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America, arise. It's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must seek freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology. Microchip in our ID, it's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
Everyone, this is July 18th, 2013, and this is Republic News Network. Kelby has had some unexpected company come into town, and so he will not be with us, and we'll play a recorded message from him. Some of you have heard it before, some of you haven't, and it's a good message to hear again and again. After that, we'll do a little housekeeping and then have our opening prayer and then get on to the rest of our call. So here's Kelby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Republic of the United States of America. My name is Kelby. And that a beautiful day this summer of 2013, this is an introduction call for the people of the United States of America and its counter-corporation, its employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and the men and women of our armed services. The Republic government called the Republic for the United States of America has been re-inhabited. We are a bunch of law-abiding, peaceful Americans, just like you. We simply found some truths, and we're sharing these truths every single week, and they're so important. I'm trying to get this to the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible and get ready to understand that you're about to be a part of history. I welcome each one of you to the Republic of the United States of America. Normally we open up in prayer. We're doing a special call tonight in which the opening is going to be changed up a bit, and after we after I talk, we're going to open up in prayer. The reason is this starting dialogue is probably the single most important thing that one could ever be conveyed when entering a republic. I want to start with helping you understand just a few simple topics. One is political status. Another one is contracts and jurisdiction. Another one is receiving benefits. And the last is controlling the birth certificate. Political status, if you focus on nothing else, it's absolutely everything in this world. You can align yourself with any entity you want. You are the being living under God, and no other entity has authority over you. In my opinion, the rich or the elite, whatever you want to call them, have a structure in which they've set up a capacity in which they can live in a tax-free environment, in which rules or laws do not apply to them, in which they behave sovereign. And the people that I know, and I've been doing this for a long time, the people that I know that are behaving in a fashion where they've aligned themselves to a political status of, let's say, California 1849 Constitution, which is the Republic for California, those people that have no contracts tied to the corporate state of California or the corporate United States live, breathe, behave, act sovereign in a capacity. In my opinion, there is no such thing as a sovereign citizen as an oxymoron. In my opinion, there is no such thing as a sovereign here on the earth. There is only one sovereign, that is God. However, in the book of Genesis, God said, go out and have dominion over all the earth. Dominion, by definition, in their own law books, Black's Law, means sovereign authority. So we are ordered to have sovereign authority over all the earth. But there's two kinds of people in this world. There's kings and there's servants. That's the bottom line. There's debtors and creditors. There is no other way to look at it in a world of commerce or in a world of status and jurisdiction. Your political status is absolutely everything. You cannot say that you have the rights guaranteed under the Constitution by the Bill of Rights if you have contracts with the United States Corporation, because those contracts usurp any rights that you think you may have. Now, people can bring to the table those rights at any time. Those rights are not granted by men. Those rights are granted by God. So you can have your political status at any time you want, and you can play the contract game, whether it be with a court, a district attorney, the IRS, or anybody, based on a simple fact that I call ping pong tennis or a fight. Now, I prefer to talk about it as ping pong. Ping pong is everything in the game of contracts, because every single time you walk into a court in this country, you are not entering an Article 3 or an Article 6 court. You are entering a court of equity. And when they try to make you do a plea, go read the word plea. You're in a court of chancellery. You're in a court of equity, proving you're not in a court of record or an Article 3 and Article 6 court. It is a contract court. You need to look at a court house like a place where courts are played. You have your court and they have their court. You're the living man and they are the corporation. They are trying to bring your contract into their court, meaning you. You need to look up Rundle versus Delaware. Corporations cannot sue a real living man. All civil and criminal are civil cases. So you cannot be sued as a real living man. So what they try to get you to do is to admit that you are the birth certificate. So much so that when you go and you ask for a certified copy of your birth certificate, you literally, they have a form and it says, please fill out this form. Who are you? And there's a box and it says self. You admit when you get a certified copy of the birth certificate that you are the birth certificate or the equivalent. Isn't that interesting? Every single application in this country, and I mean every one of them from a government standpoint, are for status and jurisdiction. You are nothing more than the agent, the authorized representative for the birth certificate, better known as the ens legis trust equivalent. And you cannot have a contract with the United States Corporation and say you are a sovereign unless you've properly controlled the contract. This is critical. Your political status is critical. Let me give you a story. Border crossing with a common law identification. Stopped the guy for 45 minutes. His friend who had a driver's license was cuffed. My friend who did not, who had a common law ID, was not cuffed. They put him in a status in a cell. They tried to do everything they could to contract with him. He would not contract with them. After about 45 minutes, he got the Mr. treatment. That's when they realized in the system who he was. He was one of the creditors, or one of we the people, one of the government. Remember, the people are the government on, by, and for this land. So they walked back in and they said, Mr. So-and-so, we are extremely sorry. Here is all your stuff. You may leave. This is a border crossing from Mexico to the United States. He said, my knife is not here. Where's my knife? He said, I'm sorry, sir. We will go get that and be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, your political status to be in the common law is everything. In my opinion, if you are pending any charges, criminal, civil, IRS, phony court, real court, doesn't matter. You need to revoke your driver's license. You need to prove jurisdiction and political status to the common law, because you cannot do it any other way. This is the most important conversation I have ever said on Republic Calls for 3 years. Do not forget what I am saying. Revoke your contracts and understand that if you want to be a king, you need to behave like a king. You do not need permission. I've got a positive story to tell. I'm not going to say his name. He's an elderly gentleman. I did not ask for permission. He is on this phone call, and he is on many of the Republic phone calls. He's an active senator in the Republic. We've been helping him for a little over a year, okay? What I'm about to say is absolutely a praise statement. If you know who you are and you can behave in a fashion that can play the game properly, you too can win in the game of ping pong. And that's all it ever is. It's not contracting with them. After three separate cases filed against this guy, all three of them beat. All three of them won and dismissed. And I'm so proud that he stuck it out and he won. And for the first time in a year, he can breathe. And you know what? They were ruthless to him. They tased him seven times. They came on his property and served a daytime warrant at 10:30 at night. Unlawful. The local sheriff, the local chief of police, and this officer were standing there watching an elderly man get tased seven times. This cop showed this video as a pleasure instrument to his buddies down at the law enforcement. This cop's got another thing coming. You do not treat the elderly of our nation this way. Ladies and gentlemen, political status, your jurisdiction, and not contracting with people you don't want to contract with is everything. And on that, I yield the floor.
So, thank you. It's good to hear that message from Kelby. We can't hear it enough. So, to get started, I would like to start the call in prayer, and I am going to unmute our one of our justices, Pete Moak, and ask him to start the call in prayer this evening. Welcome, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Father, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. We worship you and we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of this re-inhabitation. We pray, Father, for your wisdom and your knowledge that you would impart upon all of us, a teachable spirit that we would learn. Father, and we would receive instruction from you through others with a glad heart, Father. Direct us in all we do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Justice Smoke.
Yes.
Thank you. A little bit of housekeeping this evening. Some of you may have received an email from Tim Turner from his private email address. And I just want everybody to know that that is a result of spamming. Someone's gotten a hold of his email address and his contact list. And so you will have received it. When you see the email, it's just one link, nothing more really to it. I think it says some silly thing like hot news or something like that. That is spam. I am encouraging everyone to just delete the email. Do not open the link. I have no clue whether that would affect your computer or not. But please do not open that email and just delete it. And for those of us that are very close to the president, you know, to see his name in our email inboxes, it gives our heart a little jump. But I assure you it is not an email message from the president. Speaking of the president, please, if you have not sent your letter in yet for supporting him and asking for leniency in the sentencing, please do that right away. We do have a little bit of a break here, that the sentencing has been changed from the 29th of this month to the 31st. But please do work on your letters and get them sent in as soon as possible. And then my last piece of housekeeping is we have a name now on Acting President Geiger's new grandson. His name is David Joshua, and I'm not good at the Hebrew pronunciation of both of those names, but Acting President Geiger's new grandson is David Joshua, born on the 10th of July. So now I would like to go ahead and get a legislative update. Senator LaRue, are you with us this evening?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Welcome, everyone. The Senate is still hard at work studying out the laws. We are very much in harmony with the things that Kelby has been teaching about, as well as Roger Waters, the different issues, and going back and studying out the how the founders carried things into effect. So it's very tedious work, and it's consuming. We don't have an awful lot of time for other things. We are in the process of calling up our committees to confirm some appointments in the Senate, and that's where we are at this moment. I yield.
Thank you so much, Senator LaRue. And Speaker Rockwell from the House, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Janine, and good evening, everybody. We are working with the Senate in a joint committee. And I'll bring that up here real quick so I can tell you what it is. It's a joint committee on documentation. We appointed some representatives this last session that we had on Tuesday to get that joint committee. We'll be gathering soon to choose a person to lead that committee, and then we'll be able to join the Senate with their work in that. So we also enacted a new ad hoc committee this past week as well. It's a committee on education. And Representative Richards and Representative Arnold are chairing that committee. And I don't believe they've met yet, because that was just a couple of days ago that was enacted. Our other committee on, on recruitment, I haven't gotten an update from that chair for a couple of weeks. I'll have to get together with him and get that. Yeah, I don't believe Representative Kurzanowski is on the call tonight. I didn't see his...
I have him on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll let him give his own update. And also, I wanted to let everyone know that due to the generosity and the gracious people of Oregon, our assembly is sending me to Alabama, and I'll be able to attend the president's hearing on the 31st. And I just wanted to make that public that I really appreciate that, and I appreciate all the people in Oregon for their support. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. Representative Krasnowski, do you have an update on the Rules Committee?
Hi, good evening. We're still working on updating it to current times and also streamlining. We have had some issues of getting together, so we've been just bouncing emails back and forth, and but we're hopefully I'm trying to get everybody together for this weekend so we can get some more work done, together. And, we're working on attendance and other things like that to bring everything up to how we do business in the House. And that's about it for what I got right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Krasnowski. Now I'm going to turn to Roger Waters in our Treading Waters segment this evening. In the email that for tonight's call, you should have received a link to get the document that he's going to be speaking from. And if you don't get emails from us regularly, please go to our national website, republicfortheunitedstates.org, and click on Join Our Email List. Add your name there, and you will automatically receive the emails without having to have someone send them on to you. So, Roger, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Welcome to the call. I think you've got an exciting topic tonight.
Yes, actually, tonight, next week, the following week, and possibly the week after.
Okay, so maybe a four-part series instead of a three-part series.
It depends on how far we can go with this. I actually believe we could probably go for a year, but we won't.
Okay.
Anyway, hello, everybody. For just a minute, I would like to take a look at something that's very crucial to our republic. For those of you who may be or has been in the construction business, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's called the foundation. Everything we do, say, write, and even think has a foundation attached to it from somewhere. But when you break it down, it either comes from heaven or hell. That's the foundation I want to open up with. You see, way back in 1776, our founding fathers were inspired by God's Holy Spirit to write the Declaration of Independence. In essence, the only thing that did was tell the King of England that his services were no longer needed and that we here in the colonies can do very well without you. The colonies then became separated from the English king because he was executing tyranny against the settlers here in the colonies. Then came 1789. The war was over. The Brits were handed their first defeat in hundreds of years. And this little group of now free from tyranny government had stood up and formed a United States Confederation, which they found wasn't working out very well. So once again, with the help of Almighty God, they wrote a constitution. 2 years later came the Bill of Rights, and the Republic was born. So please note, the Republic did not come first. The Constitution did, which in turn created a free republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Just as the Creator had done, he had a thought, then spoke it out, and the word was brought forth. Then first came the earth, in which the Creator's Spirit moved over. Then the air, called the firmament. Then the sun, moon, and stars for seasons, years, months, and days. Then came the land, the trees, the bushes, the fruit, herbs of all kinds. Then came the fish and the birds, the land animals. and then came man and woman. Then came a day of rest, he calls the Sabbath. The evening always came before the daylight, which in a Hebrew day is a 24-hour period. God's days do not start at midnight, they start at sundown. There is an order to that. We really need to understand the order of how things are done. One thing cannot be completed until something else has preceded it. Now just think about this. Our founding fathers sat down in just a couple of nights and wrote out this document we call the Constitution, right? No. It took at least 2 years to write it, with arguments, fights, duels. Then there was this guy named Thomas Jefferson, who by all accounts didn't want to start an argument, but if you did, he would win. This guy knew what he was talking about. Then in 1791, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution was ratified. Now you have to remember, it was ratified out of a nation-state governments, and that's how much they believed in it. Just as a creation did not produce a God, the Republic did not produce a Constitution. It's just the opposite. God produced a vast universe, and the Constitution produced a Republic. Therefore, as long as there is a God called Yahweh, there will always be a universe. Just as long as there is a Constitution for the United States of America, there will still be a Republic. How important to Yahweh is this Republic? It is so important that he allowed it to come forth to spread the word of his son's return to the earth. However, the U.S. corporation isn't doing what God had authorized the Republic to do. And therefore, before his son does return to this earth, this Republic will be re-inhabited and stood up, not for us, but for the glory of Yahweh God. God, in all his wisdom, created a perfect universe until Lucifer decided to destroy it. In spirit and in living, God drove man to create the living document called the Constitution for the United States of America. Once again, Lucifer tried to destroy that. But again, God, in all his wisdom, allowed them to hide the organic Constitution and has allowed his people, the end-time remnant, to bring it forth once again. Just as God resurrected his son from the dead so all mankind could have eternal salvation, so this organic constitution was resurrected from the dust of the dark place. The Republic is now re-inhabited for all of us who choose to be in it. For those of us who are already in this great Republic, we have been called to be a part of this huge but great undertaking. For those of you who are not yet in this Republic, now is your chance to become someone that you have been called to be. Someone that could be standing one day as a servant of the people, which, by the way, is the highest and greatest calling. Today is your chance to be all you can be, not just for yourself, but for all the people inside the borders of this great Republic. In the end, Yahweh God is going to have his way. And if you stand on the side of what is right, you too can have a great reward. Now, as Janine said, this is originally set down to be a three-part series talk. It may go a little bit longer. We're dealing with the Zimmerman case and how that case would have been handled in the Republic. First off, let me explain to you a little bit of some things that have taken place since last Saturday evening when the not guilty verdict came out. Mr. Zimmerman, by one of the witnesses, was called a homosexual predator and warned that he was gay. He was after children. He liked to go after children. There was a group of blacks that they beat up a Hispanic man yelling, "This is for Tehran." A white jogger was beaten. protesters storm Walmart. Soul singer attacked after dedicating the song to Trayvon. There's a number of stories that came out of rioting. And the reason it was rioting is because there was a group of individuals attached to the White House in D.C., that would be the corporation, that tries to insinuate these riots, tries to bring them forth. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Eric Holder now has a grand jury of the people that have issued an arrest warrant for him because of inciting riots. Things aren't good in the corporation. Let me tell you what they tried to do. They tried their best to make an example of Mr. Zimmerman, any way, shape, or form. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here, because a lot of the things that Kelby says ties into what we're going to talk about here. First thing you got to understand is that when you are born, there is a birth certificate that is actually bonded by the U.S. Treasury with your actual name attached to it. It then becomes bonded as a straw man so they can trade it on the markets. Every day, you, personally, you, your birth certificate is being traded on the stock market every single day. The corporation makes money on it. They do it without your permission and without your knowledge. Well, this young kid, Trayvon, was killed. That meant that the corporation couldn't make money off of his birth bond. Somebody has to pay. So guess what? Mr. Zimmerman shot and killed him. They had pictures of Mr. Zimmerman's face, all black and blue and beaten, where this young kid was fighting him. Do you think those pictures ever made it to the court case? No. They withheld evidence. Now, I ask you, does that sound familiar? Maybe a case up here in the Republic we had down in Georgia and one up in Chicago? The corporation likes to do things the way that they do it because, to them, it's all about the almighty dollar. So, what I want to do is I want to go into a little bit of what happened during that court case. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you, according to the Constitution and the laws that preceded it, the due process. This is not for a select group of people. This is for everybody. Black, white, yellow, green, purple, I don't care. If you are a human being, this due process is for you. The first one is there has to be a complaint written. There has to be an injured party. If there is no injured party, then the family of that injured party can actually write the complaint up. That then goes to the DA. The DA decides whether or not he's going to take action on that complaint. Once the DA decides that, yes, there is, he gathers some information and some evidence, he calls up a grand jury. Now, the grand jury is not from the DA's office. The grand jury is not from the court. The grand jury is ordinary citizens out here who come together and volunteer their time. They start this case. They go through the evidence. They go through the questions, the answers. When they come up with a true bill or a no bill, they go home. Job over. That's it for them. When the next case comes from the DA, another grand jury will be called forth. Now, once the grand jury has proven a true bill, which means there is evidence that a crime has been committed, and yes, we do have an injured party, it then moves on to a warrant of arrest. You have the evidence spoken of and gratified by the people. That arrest warrant brought forth by the DA's office, signed by a sitting judge. Once that person is arrested, he's brought to the court, and there's a bond hearing. That bond hearing is to determine whether or not he's a flight risk, or, you know, if there's going to be a bond put on him at all. Then comes discovery. The DA's office must, by law, bring all evidence that it has to the defense. Everything. Then comes jury selection. The jury is selected by both the prosecution and the defendant. Then came the trial. The evidence is heard and weighed as to guilt or not guilt. Then came the closing arguments. Both prosecution and defense argue the facts of the case. Then comes jury instruction. Now, this may not sound big. This is huge. Let me tell you why. Because in the corporation, the judge, you might think, is just the judge of the court, but that court is actually a private corporation, where whatever state you live in, whatever county you live in, get on a website called manta.com, and you can look up your district court, your small claims court, your county court, your city court, and you will find that it has been incorporated with the state that you live in, meaning it is a 501, a 502, a 503, or a 504 under the IRS code. Meaning, it's a business to make money. Why do you think court costs jump so much? If you know, in places like L.A., when I lived out there back in the 80s, if you had a traffic ticket, you just went down to the night court window, and there was probably 200 or 300 people in line, and you just went up and paid your fine. Okay, you don't have to appear in court. But that was court, because what you did, you just admitted to guilt. Now, points were taken off your insurance. Your insurance rates just went up. You may even get a letter saying you've got to attend traffic school. That's how that system works. It's not of, for, and by the people. It's of, for, and by the corporation. Next will come jury deliberation. This is when the jury members go and they sit and weigh out all of the evidence to what the law says. Now, you have to understand that most judges in the corporation, they do not tell the jury everything they need to know. I've seen cases where the judge will tell the jury what he wants the law to be and what he wants the jury to weigh against what law he wants. Basically, the judge is telling the jury, find this man innocent or find him guilty. But you have to listen to the law that I tell you. In truth, you have to give the jury a certain type of instruction. Number one is, the judge is not the law. There's a constitution of the national government. There's a constitution of the state government. There may be a constitution of certain businesses that may have been, the law may have been broken there. Those are the laws that the jury has to go by, not what the judge wants. The judge has taken an oath to a constitution. Now, understand, we follow in the Republic, we follow the organic constitution. They took that organic constitution and created their own. So the judges that sit in the courts of the corporation follow a different constitution, but they don't even follow that right. They still do what they want to do. Why? Because they're a corporation all unto themselves. So the jury goes off, not really understanding the law. The jury goes off, and they are never told in the corporation that they could have a hung jury. It only takes one jury member to vote the opposite direction of everybody else, and you have a hung jury. judges don't even cover that because they want a verdict, and they want it as quick as possible. They got another case coming up to make more money for the court. Now, the jury comes up with a verdict. That jury comes out and tells the judge, we have a verdict. The defendant's brought in. The jury hands the judge the verdict. Either the judge will read it. In some states, the court bailiff will read it. And there's a few states where the actual head of the jury will read it, whatever that verdict is. Once that is over, you have closing of the court and sentencing following that. Now, what happened here in the Zimmerman case? I don't want you to laugh about this because it's a serious moment, but in actuality, it is kind of funny because nothing of how the Republic would handle this was handled correctly by the corporation in the Zimmerman case. For instance, under a complaint, the family or the victim is supposed to write a complaint to the DA's office. Do you know what their complaint was? The 911 call from a witness. The same witness that told the court, well, Mr. Zimmerman is gay and he likes to go after young children. That's your witness and that is your complaint, huh? No injured party. So right from the get-go, everything is started off wrong. Remember what I said about a foundation. The foundation of their court case was based upon false intent. That means that everything that follows is based on false intent, wrongdoing. You see, in the Republic, there would have to be an injured party. And that injured party or his family would have to write a complaint to the DA's office. That did not happen in this case. The DA wanted to press charges. However, the local police chief said, we don't have enough evidence to bring him up on charges. He had the right documentation to carry a secured weapon, and he did have a 9mm, and all indications say that he defended himself in self-defense. The very next day, this local chief of the police was being relieved. He was no longer chief of police. And they brought a new DA in. And the DA was the state DA. And now things really turned for the worse. For instance, they had a warrant, but the warrant was executed the same night as the murder. The DA forgot one little tiny detail here. It's called the grand jury. There was no grand jury for Mr. Zimmerman. I ask you again, does that sound familiar with two cases that we just had here in the Republic? Now, the grand jury is supposed to weigh the evidence and then say true bill or no bill. Well, the new DA, oh, by the way, that DA was kind of kicked down through the ranks from the White House and Eric Holder, who was told by their CEO, Mr. Obama. Because, you see, they wanted to play the race card. Have you noticed that, at least as long as I've been alive, and that's now 60 years, everything is based on race. If they can't stir up enough trouble, they'll just get the networks to start talking about some rinky-dink case that has no bearing on anybody, and all of a sudden it gets blowed up to like the Zimmerman case did, and oh my gosh, the kid that got killed is black, and the guy, he's either white, Latino, but he's not black. And all of a sudden, you have this war going on, and you get two sides across the country. This is what the White House loves. It's what the networks are told to do. You see, I don't have this documentation in front of me, but Do you know who owns NBC? That means they would also own NBC, MSNBC. They would own all those networks. Well, would you believe it was Westinghouse, GE? They're the number five defense contractor of the entire country. They're a multi-billion dollar a year industry with the federal government. So they are the ones who pay the announcers on NBC. And you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. This is why NBC is pretty much in bed with the Obama administration. Now, you're going to find that CNN and Fox News are actually owned by other corporations, and they, too, are in the same boat as what NBC is. So they're not going to go against what their upper echelon CEOs, the ones who really write their checks, are going to tell them. Therefore, you do not have justice. You do not have fairness. You do not have your day in court as the Constitution allows you to have. No justice whatsoever for you. You see, in the Republic, it's a straight line right across, and it's from one end of the spectrum to the other. Everybody will be treated equally. Doesn't make any difference your background or your ethnic background or your religious background. You're a human being. Therefore, everybody is treated the same. That's the only way real justice can be dealt with. If you're guilty under the Republic and the evidence proves it, guess what? You're guilty. If they can't produce enough evidence to show guilt, guess what? You walk away. It's a straight line, justice. Corporation doesn't have it. They don't use it. They don't want it. And that's the difference between their courts and what our courts will be. You have a group of people in high places who all they want is to stir the pot constantly, because you see, if they can keep you and I fighting amongst each other, I mean, we're so mad at each other, we're out there overturning cars, setting houses on fire, we're basically rioting. A few of us may even get arrested, but they don't care because, see, now they get to sign the bills to take more of our freedoms away, and we won't recognize it. That's their purpose. I've said this once, I'll say it again. When was the last time you saw on C-SPAN Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein walk down the halls of Congress in D.C. and vote and take away some of our rights and some of our bills, our freedoms? You didn't see that. You did, however, see your senator from your state and your representative from your state vote, and some of those freedoms and some of those rights were taken away. Been that way ever since 1871. You see, this is why it's so important for this republic to be stood up. It's why it's so important that you and I can go out and gather other people to bring in. It's not just for you and I. This is for the glory of God. It's His republic. He started it, and He's going to finish it, with us or without us. He would rather we finished it with us. This is why we need to go out and pursue other people to come in. Have you noticed here lately the trend? I'm not going to call names out, but we've had a lot of people here in the last 6 months come into this republic that have a lot of knowledge, have a lot of experience in whatever field it is that they're getting into. We didn't have that before, but since some people have left and some people have left vacancies, God has been bringing these kind of skilled people into this republic. See, that tells me it's his republic and not ours, because we don't know how to go out and find these skilled individuals. God's bringing them to us. That in itself is a miracle. God is feeding his own people with wisdom. And we have learned so much over the last 2 years. I've been in this thing for almost 3 years now. It'll be 3 years at the end of this month. I have seen people come. I've seen people go. I've seen some good people come and go. I've seen an awful lot of people that weren't so good come and go. Those of us that are still here, first of all, we're here by the grace of God. Second of all, we're here because we refused to bow down to something other than our Creator. And we're being rewarded for that. And the rewards will continue to come. And one day when this republic is stood up, you're going to see a reward. A reward like you never thought. Now, let me get on to the grand jury. There's something about the grand jury that a lot of people have a hard time with. Some people think that the grand jury is a standing grand jury. You pick a certain amount of people, you pay them throughout the year, and that's the pot that you choose them from. No. There is going to be a group of people from your state that will volunteer to be on the grand jury. They will be paid when they are sitting on a grand jury. But from the time that they start a hearing process to the time that it's ended, and they have come up with a true bill or a no bill, they are called the grand jury. Once that is over, and the DA takes whatever paperwork that they have brought forth to the court, that jury member that's in the grand jury now goes home. She becomes a housewife or a nurse again. The guy may be a farmer or work in a factory somewhere or own a corporation. Own a business. And you know what? They go back to those jobs. They may never, ever again be called to be on a grand jury. They may, somewhere down the road. They will probably never, ever serve with the same group of people they did before. See, that's the beauty of it. The grand jury isn't from the court, and it's not from the DA's office. It's from the people. And that's where the power of the people will come into play. The grand jury is not a fourth branch of government. The grand jury isn't even a branch of government. It's the people. So people who think that, you know, it can take off into the fourth branch, you're going away from the Constitution that we have taken an oath to defend and to uphold. Constitution doesn't say anything about a fourth branch. Now, I know people in the past here in the Republic have tried to rewrite the constitutions. We had one here in Indiana who tried to put five and six branches into it. Doesn't work. Of course, those people aren't here anymore either. God deals with those who rebel against him and his people. And now, please understand this. If you're in this republic right now, or you come into this republic in the very near future, you are part of God's remnant in this nation to bring forth this republic to establish what was once tried to take away from us. God is going to make sure that we have reestablished and re-inhabited this republic because it's his, not ours. It's not President Turner's, it's not Acting President Geiger's, it's not yours, and it's not mine. It's God's. We are honored and privileged to be in it, to do the work that God has set forth for us to do, to follow a constitution that gives us the rights from the Creator, the freedoms from the Creator. And he expects us to uphold those. He expects us to defend them at all costs. Therefore, the grand jury. When it has completed its task, it goes home. If the next case comes, then a new grand jury will be brought forth. But please get out of your head that the grand jury is a fourth branch of government. It is not. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that, that even hints to that. Inside the grand jury, however, they will produce their own officers. You will have a grand jury foreman. He will not vote on any of the cases. He is the one who actually takes the vote. You will have different officers. You may have a secretary. You may have a treasurer. The grand jury may be given so much money to do their investigations with. And therefore, that's what they use. So you got to have somebody to handle the money. It's like its own little piece of a business operating for however long that it takes. And then once it's done, everybody goes home. That's what a grand jury is. It's also the highest authority in our Constitution. Why? Because it's of the people. When we recite that part, of the people, for the people, and by the people, the grand jury is just exactly that. Not of the executive, not of the legislative, not of the judicial, but of the people. So, let me give you a little indication of what we're going to do next week. Next week, I'm going to have one or two other guests on. They're going to give their opinions. We're going to break the law down. We're going to find out exactly what the Republic will do if the Zimmerman case was in the Republic. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm sure there's going to be questions that are going to be raised, and that's what we want. We want questions so we can delve into this thing and get this thing put to rest so everybody's on the same page. Because I'm going to tell you, in order for this Republic to be notified around the world, one of the things is our court system has to be up and running. We have to be able to operate. And with that, according to what last session produced in the bills, not only are we going to have courts, but we're going to have counsel for those who maybe can't speak for themselves. If you remember, that was a law that was passed within the Congress of the Republic last year. So those things need to come to pass. We're right on the cuff of starting those training sessions for everybody to get on the same page, and that's what we need. We need unity. The court system is probably more vital to a country than any other branch, simply because they're the ones who decide by a jury who's guilty and who's not. And we're not talking about a court jury. We're talking tonight about a grand jury. Two different types of juries. So, Janine, with that, I'm going to yield. If anybody has questions, I'm available, I guess.
And thank you, Roger. I do know that Speaker Rockwell wanted to make a comment. Speaker, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. I just wanted to say, Roger, that I'm glad you're on our team. Thanks for all your knowledge and your wisdom, and especially giving God the glory to everything. It's an honor to serve with you, my friend. I yield.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much. For me, it's an honor to be serving with the people that we have in this Republic. Most of us really didn't have much of a clue of what we were doing when we first stepped into these positions. You have people like Brett LaRue, who has a lot of knowledge and wisdom that brings forth that wisdom and knowledge on calls, and we learn from him. We've had other people that have come on and have given us great tools to teach and so forth. This is not just a few people doing this. This is everybody doing this. And that makes it fun. that makes it worth the while to actually do it. So it becomes my honor as well to serve with you. My wife is a representative from Indiana, and she tells me a world of difference between last session and this session. And that's because of the leadership. So, you know, let me thank you for what you are doing. It may not be passing a lot of bills, but, you know, that's not really the purpose right now. We're bonding together. We're learning each other, how each other operates. And that's a bonding process that we need. Because the day that this republic stands up, we all need to stand up with it as one, not as a little tiny group here and there. So thank you, sir, for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. And Roger, excellent job. This is becoming one of my favorite parts of the week, is to hear your reports. So we are at our hour this evening. So I am going to go ahead and ask Speaker Rockwell, since you're on the line with me, to give a closing prayer. Please tune in the next 3, possibly 4 weeks, because Roger is going to help us all get on the same page. I'm excited to hear it. Speaker Rockwell, would you like to close in prayer?
Yes, I'd be honored to do that. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this hour to get together and learn about your republic, how we're going to continue to make it grow and continue it to make it work for you. Always let us look to you for guidance and direction when and whatever that we do. And I want you to keep everybody safe as we depart now, that we can get together at the next appointed time and have some more great discussion and some more great learning and education as well. And I want you to especially be with President Turner and his court date coming up on the 31st, that things will go well. And we'll be able to give him a big hug. Everybody that's in the Republic will be able to do that. And that that'll be an exciting time for us and him as well. Also want you to be with Acting President Geiger and his little grandbaby, that he can enjoy time with them. Grandkids are fun to be around. I know that firsthand. And so just to keep him safe as well and keep all the leadership well and focused on you, right down to the most important part of the Republic, the people. And with that, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Speaker Rockwell, for that. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.
Good night.
Yeah. congratulations.